If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning of verse 9. Luke 18, beginning of verse 9. We read, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you I'm not like all other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And as we come to this familiar parable, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, as we look at these two different attitudes of these two different men, Lord, may it not just be a nice little story, but Lord, may these words, may the Holy Spirit use these words to touch our hearts. Lord, may we know that we've been with you this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Throughout his ministry, Jesus extolled the self-righteousness, the unbelief of the Pharisees and their followers. Back in Luke chapter 7, Jesus pictured the Pharisees as debtors, too bankrupt to pay what they owed God. In Luke 11, verse 39, he said, Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. In Luke 14, he pictured them as guests, fighting for the best seats at a banquet. The parable of the prodigal son. In Luke 15, they're the son who's proud of his obedience, but is unconcerned about the needs of others. And in spite of all of his teachings, the Pharisees couldn't, perhaps they wouldn't, see what Jesus was getting at. They knew they were right, and Jesus was wrong. Because his time on earth was coming to a close, Jesus had intensified his teachings about the kingdom of God and how one could enter this spiritual kingdom. Throughout the Old Testament, the Pharisees had studied God's word, and they saw that God is absolutely holy, and he calls his people to be holy. The Bible also emphasizes that it's impossible for sinners to become holy and righteous on their own. Jeremiah 13:23 says, Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. Later in chapter 17, verse 9, Jeremiah quoted God, wrote that God said, The heart is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it? Isaiah 64:6 says, All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. David wrote in Psalm 143, verse 2, No one living is righteous before you. At the same time, the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, teaches that justification before God is by faith alone, not by any works, but by faith. Back in Genesis 15, verse 6, we read that Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Habakkuk 2:4 says, The enemy is puffed up, his desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. But the Jews of Jesus' day had lost sight of the Old Testament's messages and teachings. In its place, they'd manufactured and come up with a false legalistic system of salvation of self-righteousness based on good works, rituals, outward keeping the Old Testament law, and all the rabbinic additions and modifications to it. Jesus addressed this parable to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Basically, the parable is aimed at the Pharisees and their followers, as well as all those who sought salvation through self-effort, through self-righteousness. All who believe that they have the ability to live a life that pleases God sufficiently enough to gain them eternal life in His kingdom. Such people are often obnoxiously self-righteous. They look down on everybody else. That is, they consider others worthless, of no value. The parable started out with two men going up to the temple to pray. The scene would have been a familiar one to Jesus' hearers. It was only natural for prayers to be offered at the temple, the place that Isaiah called the house of prayer. We read that Pharisee stood up and prayed. Standing was one of the acceptable positions for prayer. But the Pharisee's posture was one of self-promoting pride, demonstrating his supposed spirituality. Talking about this, Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 5, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by everyone." The Pharisee was full of pride. And he approached God boldly. The Pharisee approached God boldly and in self-righteous attitude said, or rather he prayed about himself. Think about it, that prayer was no prayer to God. The Pharisee gave God no praise. He asked nothing of Him. No mercy, no grace, no forgiveness, no help. Instead, he told God, and anybody else listening, how good he was. "God, I thank you, I'm not like other men." And to make certain that no one, including God, missed the point, the Pharisee proceeded to compare himself favorably to the riffraff of Jewish society. "I'm not like robbers, evildoers, adulterers." And as he looked around to see who was watching him, the Pharisee noticed a perfect example of exactly the kind of person he was not, and this tax collector. The Pharisees held themselves above and separate from the common people, and they only associated with others like them. The Pharisee might have even been wondering why the impure tax collector was even allowed to get so close to the temple. Not content with saying what he was not, the Pharisee wanted everyone, including God, to know what he was. So he proceeded to list his religious accomplishments, contrasting himself with the irreligious tax collector. The Jews were required by law, Mosaic law, to fast only once a year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. But the Pharisees fasted twice a week, normally on Monday and Thursday. These just happened to be the market days in Jerusalem, when the city be full of the country people. Those that were fasting would whiten their faces, put on raggedy clothes, and the market day gave their supposed piety the biggest possible audience to see. In addition, the Pharisee was careful to tithe everything that came into his possession, even the tiny herbs in his garden. What the Pharisee said about himself was true, but the spirit of his prayer was wrong. There was no sense of sin, no sense of sin or need or any humble dependence on God. After his opening prayer, he didn't refer to God again, but he himself was never out of the picture. He prayed about "I this and I that." Basically, the Pharisee is praying, "I thank you that I am so great." One gets the impression that God should be honored that this faithful Pharisee was on his team. The second character in Jesus' parable had a totally different attitude to that of the proud Pharisee. Recognizing his sinfulness and his worthlessness, in humility the tax collector stood at a distance. He came before God in humility. He was aware that he had no claim on God. He knew that he was unworthy, unworthy to be even near this awesome temple of God, to be in God's presence, or even in the midst of the righteous gathered there in the courtyard of the temple to pray. So he stood at a distance. The tax collector's posture, as well as where he stood, demonstrated his humility. Unlike the Pharisee who stood proudly displaying his own self-righteousness, the tax collector could not even look up to heaven. Overwhelmed with his guilt and his shame, he had an overpowering sense of his worthlessness. He recognized the enormity of his sins, his disobedience, his lawlessness before God, and couldn't think of even facing him. His humility can also be seen in his behavior. He beat his breast. When they prayed, the Jewish people sometimes put their hands over their chests and would bow their heads. This man did something really unusual. Clenching his hands in the fists, he began pounding his chest in sorrow and in anguish. And finally, his humility is seen in his words. Unlike the Pharisee, this humble sinner addressed his prayer to God. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Actually, he referred to himself not as a sinner, but the Greek word is the sinner. Looking at his sins through God's eyes, the tax collector viewed himself as the worst sinner of all, the sinner. Paul made a similar statement. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning verse 15. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example to those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." The tax collector saw himself as the ultimate, the worst sinner. Notice the tax collector made no summary of his good deeds. There was no glowing testimonial. There was no indication that God ought to be honored or obligated to him. He recognized only one thing. He needed God's mercy. The tax collector's prayer wasn't a general plea for mercy, but rather that God in his compassion would forgive him of his sins and turn divine wrath away from him. Jesus' conclusion must have shocked the legalists to whom he had told this parable. Jesus said, "This man, rather than the other, went home justified before God." The word Jesus used means having been permanently justified. In our terminology, we would say that the tax collector was saved. Those that knew the Pharisee would have considered him a worthy saint who strived most diligently to keep the law of God. He's the one that should be justified. But the Pharisee was justified in his own eyes and therefore didn't need God's mercy. He wasn't aware of any sins of omission or commission. The Pharisee's pride condemned him. Without any works, law-keeping, spiritual accomplishments, good works, or anything else, the tax collector, this guilty sinner, this man from the dregs of Jewish society, was pronounced instantly and permanently righteous in God's eyes. The only righteousness acceptable to God is perfect righteousness, and no amount of human effort or work can earn it. It cannot be earned. And because it can't be earned, God gives righteousness as a gift to repentant sinners who put their trust in Him. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, a verse we learned a couple of years ago. Can you say it with me? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast." Not of works, it's a gift of God. The humble tax collector was saved by his faith in God, in God's mercy. Jesus concluded the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector with the same words he used back in the parable of the places of honor and the banquet. "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus was saying that the path of self-righteousness, self-exaltation, that is, those who exalt themselves, end in eternal judgment. On the other hand, all who humble themselves and confess that they can do nothing to save themselves will be exalted by God to eternal glory. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Later in verse 10 of chapter 4, James adds, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. The Pharisee was full of pride. He approached God boldly. He told God how good he was. The Pharisee had no sense of sin. The tax collector, on the other hand, recognized his sinfulness. He came in humility. He knew he had no claim on God. God owed him nothing. He knew he needed God's mercy. Jesus' conclusion, the humble man was justified. Perfect righteousness cannot be earned. Righteousness is a gift from God. In 2,000 years, things haven't changed. Many still feel that if they're a good person, they have good intentions, they can earn their way into heaven. The problem is that in their pride, like the Pharisee in today's parable, they compare themselves to those around them. But the question isn't, am I as good as my fellow man? The real question is, am I as good as God? James 2:10 addressed it this way. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking all of it. It all depends with whom we compare ourselves. If we're truthful, when we set our lives beside the life of Jesus Christ and besides the holiness of God, all that's left to say is, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Christians don't do good things to earn their way into heaven. We've already been promised that. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. But Christians need to be known for doing good works and for loving others. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, Paul reminded the Ephesian Christians that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. We are to do good. We are to forgive one another. We are to love one another. But rather than bringing praise to ourselves, the good things we do are to bring praise to God. In Matthew 5, verse 16, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 2:12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. So, what is your attitude when you come before God? Are you like the Pharisee, proud of all the things that you do in God's name? Or are you humble like the tax collector, thanking God for His love, His mercy, His grace, thankful for the opportunities He's given you to demonstrate your thankfulness, your love to Him for His love, for His grace and His mercy? Are you thankful for the opportunities He gives you to bring glory to His name? I think that's what the parable is asking us as well as the Pharisees. Which attitude is your attitude? Let's pray. Father, sometimes, many times, Lord, I think we start out with the right attitude of doing things for You, doing things that You get the glory. But sometimes, Lord, because of things happening around us, sometimes I think we forget. And we start getting kind of puffed up like the Pharisees. Look how good I am. Look at the things I'm doing. Lord, help us to remain humble as a tax collector. Lord, help the good deeds that we do, the good deeds that you give us to do. Help us, Lord, to do them so that you may be honored and glorified. And Lord, when people ask us why we do what we do, that we can say we are just doing what you've given us to do. May we be able to point people to you, to bring you praise. Maybe even be able to share your gospel message with them. Lord, help us to be the witness, the testimony you would have us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. As you prepare...